This is a Nazi propaganda.
The goal of our propaganda is to control the government. We want to replace the organization with a state founded upon National Socialist ideal. These are actual posters of things they have. Now read what these say. That's the translations. Women save Germany. Vote Hitler. These are actual posters from that era. What do you think this is? Workers of the mind of the fist, vote for the soldier. Student, be the Führer's propagandist.
Now, who would ever thought you could start a fellowship teaching with a Nazi propaganda film here. We're breaking new grounds. I will tell you this. The word propaganda back in those days was not the dirty word that it is now. Okay? As a matter of fact, you can replace the word propaganda with organizer. Okay? Today's equivalent is organizer. Back in those days, this is the teachers, okay, of what the government wanted you to know. It was not necessarily such a derogatory. Now, if you hear propaganda, you immediately feel like, oh, brainwashing. This is what they're doing. They're throwing out, you know, misinformation. Okay, this is organizing back in the day is what this was. Okay, and I want to show you a couple things. I'm going to exit out of this just for a second here. These are, you saw what they were touting in 1930s. Women, workers, students. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what they're touting.
Familiar?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I get the emails, okay, and I've got them saved here so I can just show you. These are the emails that I get. All right, here we go. This is the Republican Party here. See the banner up here? Mm-hmm. Anything look familiar?
Yeah.
Anti-workers, anti-students, anti-women. I'm not going to really... Really? Okay? This is one of them. Okay, let's go to the next one here. Whoops, I guess I really don't need to close it. But okay, here we go. Here's another one. And while the faces on the stage may change a little different, the offensive, out of touch, over the top rhetoric, and dangerous ideas to preserve and honor the Constitution now is over the top, out of touch, and offensive. Next one. Okay, this one here, I'm going to have to probably read it to you. Okay, this came from Democrats.org, and the line I want to show you here is they have committed, here we go, it says here, the presidential hopefuls are exiting the clown car. Their primary has become in droves. Tonight's debate proved that the candidates, that they are left just as committed as ever to the ridiculous rhetoric and pits their entire party against women, students, immigrants, and minorities. Okay? This is what they're saying here. And the last one here, I'm just going to show you. I've got tons of these. So this is just not a small little sample. I've got tons of them. I just kind of went through there. GOP party is the party of border walls, climate change denial, defunding Planned Parenthood, and all around out of touch extremism. Okay? And that's what we're called. What do you think the body of Christ is called when you stand up and you say that homosexuality is wrong? You're out of touch. That's extremism. Who the heck are you? And this is what you get labeled. There's no difference. This is everything just cycles itself over and over again. Let me get back here and go back to the presentation here. That's just to show you. I did this kind of as a little bit of a joke, but do you see any parallels here?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to show you some more. If I can go back to it here. There we go. Okay. Now, this one's kind of a comedy. Okay. You guys know who Waters is?
Yeah.
He works, he's a comedian, actually. He's really funny. And he goes on the street and does interviews. Okay. Now, the only reason I'm doing this is because being bombarded with socialism and how great socialism is, that is the new age. And it is just going crazy. And so Waters went out on the street in New Hampshire to talk to Bernie Sanders reporters, or Bernie Sanders supporters, okay? And he does it as a joke, and I cut it down to a couple minutes, but if you can, put it on there, and if I need to turn the volume up, I think I've got the remotes here, but listen to this. Like I said, he does this as a joke. Go back here. Okay, here we go.
Bernie Sanders says he is a democratic socialist. Do you know what that means?
Bernie Sanders probably has my vote.
My personal choice about why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders is because I believe that he represents me.
You look like a Sanders supporter.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I am Colonel Sanders.
Is Bernie your type?
No.
Politician?
I see, we're getting acquainted.
Instead of having a body of government who dictates what everybody else is doing, it gives kind of the power back to the people.
That's the opposite of socialism.
Is it really?
You're putting me on.
So you want to make the rich less rich?
Sure, yeah. Equality?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Has a poor person ever offered you a job?
They have not.
This is where I live, little man.
Do you think socialism works?
I think socialism very well could work for us.
How does raising taxes on the rich help the middle class?
Never mind.
Do you have any idea what a democratic socialist is?
Obama.
Are you a democratic socialist?
I'm lean more towards socialism than democracy.
Bernie Sanders wants to raise taxes. What do you think about that? No? Not a good idea?
Wait, I don't want to be like one of your pinheads.
Too late.
Do you think socialism is good for America?
Yes, absolutely.
It wasn't very good for Greece, though, was it?
Let me think for a minute.
Do you support Bernie Sanders' tax plan?
I don't really know what Bernie Sanders' tax plan is right now.
Do you think Bernie Sanders has a plan to defeat ISIS? What do you think Bernie's plan is to stop illegal immigration? So you like Bernie Sanders, you just don't know what any of his plans are.
That just happened.
How does raising taxes on the wealthy help the middle class?
Because there will be a bigger middle class.
But Obama already raised taxes on the wealthy and the middle class is shrinking.
I guess one of us got confused.
Bernie Sanders supports Planned Parenthood. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're okay with them harvesting organs?
That is not what is happening.
What was happening?
I'm not 100% sure.
Here's a symbol.
Thank you.
I just redistributed the wealth right there.
Oh, thank you.
Very
so
welcome.
Much. Doing your part.
Do you like capitalism?
No.
The dollar came from capitalism. See how that trickled down to you?
Can we
do this thing here?
We have a horrible government. We're bankrupt to the point where we owe every single country in the world money.
If we're bankrupt, Bernie Sanders wants to spend more money. How's that going to help us get out of bankruptcy?
No matter which way you look at it, you have to spend money to make money.
Is that how you get out of credit card debt? Is Bernie Sanders fighting a war on women?
I don't think he's fighting a war against women.
Then why is he trying to keep Hillary out of the White House?
Hey, Hillary's a little bit on the Wall Street side for me.
Do you trust Hillary?
No.
Neither does the FBI.
My personal emails are my personal business, right?
What do you think about Hillary Clinton?
What if Justin fighting Bill Clinton back in the White House and I'm not ready for that? Not at all.
Neither are the interns. Waters, and this is my world right here.
I don't get that. You know, that's not the New Hampshire I remember. Live free or die.
Yeah, there. That's their motto.
I know.
Can't believe in socialism and live free.
Yeah, can't believe in socialism and their motto is live free or die. I like doing so. I did that as a joke, just to show, but this is what's taking place. And so I kind of want to go over a few things because my sharing that I'm doing tonight is about deception and ignorance. Okay, and we have to apply that also to our lives and to the body of Christ and the people we come in contact with, because we get deceived or people have been deceived, and then there are some people who just choose wickedness. If we can free the deceived or make smart the ignorant, then we can help save someone. And some of them, they're just not going to be able to. But let's take a look at what socialism actually is, because when they went out and asked people, what is it, nobody knew. And nobody had a clue what socialism was. And so I got a couple things on here. Okay, my socialism where you wait on bread lines, capitalism where the bread lines wait on you. Okay, here's one that's a great one, and this has been around for a while. And what is socialism? Karl Marx transitioned to the communist society. Okay, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. And you see this here, the American capitalism, where you're going to have success and you're going to have failure. Okay, all the way from A to F. Reward success, free market, private property ownership, rights protected from the U.S. government. When we transition to socialism, punishes success, rewards laziness, redistributes the wealth, collective ownership, large welfare system, large invasive government. And now what it does basically is it takes the person who's excelling and brings them down to bring the person who's failing to bring them up. Now, if they're failing because they don't want to go out and work, they don't want to do anything, you know, it's the same way. I always hear this all the time. Well, we should reward those people who work really hard. Well, if a person goes to college for 8 years to get their doctorate, you know, in, like, lesbian studies, do I really care to employ you? You worked really hard for your degree. It's a junk degree. Okay, so your only option is maybe to go back to another college and teach that same thing. That's not doing it. We have to have people fail, and people have to be able to succeed. And that is how business works. But what it is it's a stair step. You see that here to the other one. And the other one is abolition of private property, confiscation of property rights. Government owns everything, leads to a totalitarian state. Now, people think to themselves, well, how far is socialism from communism? Yeah, maybe 1.5 years, possibly. Okay, it depends on the country. But I didn't put up a lot of the statistics. This is one that I found was kind of neat. We cannot expect the Americans to jump from capitalism to communism, but we can assist their elected leaders in giving Americans small doses of socialism until they suddenly wake to find they have it. That was Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Okay, that was back in the late 50s, early 60s. Next one here I thought was a good one. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by voting. It's the same difference between murder and suicide. And Rand. Here's another one I want to show here before we get kicked off here. Views of Capitalism. This comes from the Pew Research Center, 2011. I could not find the 2016. They just did one, and I searched high and low for it, and I couldn't find it. It's worse than this, okay? But this is the newest one I could find. This is positive to capitalism, positive to socialism, okay? And a couple things I want to show you here. Here's the 18 to 29 crowd. The one that I heard on the news, they said that it is in the high 60s and up to the 70s now, where it was 49%. That was 4 years ago, because this is in December, so it's almost 2012. We're in 2016, okay? Positive for socialism is 49%. Here's the other one I want to show you, though. 65 and above, look at the negative for socialism. Okay, 72%. And so what we see is a generational thing where the new generations, the younger people, are biting into this myth that socialism is great. And socialism is the step to take away religion. It's the way to do it. Communism does take it away. It just absolutely takes it away. So I told you, ignorance and deceived. Let's start off here and let's go to Isaiah 3:12. And you see the page is on there, so you can flip right to it. 650. Old Testament. You there?
Yep.
You are quick. Okay, page 650. It's 3:12. Melania, keep your finger there and I'll let you read this, honey. All right, go ahead, sweetheart.
My people, children, are their trap.
Tyrants.
And women rule over them. My people, they who should lead them, the forward, are causing thee to stray. The pathways have they destroyed.
That's exactly it. My people, children, are their tyrants. Now, you think about that. Everybody can think of a time that they were out somewhere and they saw the children running the show. I laughed the other day. I was in Walmart and the mom pushed her cart down the toy aisle. And I'm like going, oh, big mistake. And then I went down the other aisle and I could hear that kid screaming all the way till I went to the checkout at the front of the store. And I'm like going, who's running the show here? Okay, this is what we're referring to, children. And so when we look at this, this is generational. So generation after generation, where is it going? Is it excelling? Is it getting better? Or is it getting worse? And in some areas, it's getting better. And in some areas, generationally, as an entire group, I would say it's getting worse. And women rule over them, my people who should lead thee forward. who should lead thee forward, saying the people who should be taking care of you and taking you through this portion, they're the ones who are leading you astray. Well, golly, we've seen that over and over again in the church, in the government, and everything else. And so when I see that, I'm like going, oh, the people who should lead thee forward, are causing thee to stray. Yes, they're the ones who are doing it. And so you're following somebody, basically, who has no idea where they're going. Flip over to Hosea 4:6, page 862, to the right. And Elijah... Go ahead, why don't you read it? It's 4:6. Actually, do me a... let me read the first one here. Okay, I'm going to read the first verse, and then you can jump down to 6, and if you read 6 for me. Why don't you just read 1 and 6? Go ahead, Elijah.
1, 6, okay.
1, and then go 4, 1, and then go jump down to 6.
Hear the word of Yahweh, ye sons of Israel. What a...
Controversy
hath Yahweh within the inhabitants of land, because there is no faithfulness, nor loving kindness, nor knowledge of Yahweh in the land.
That's it. And so when before you go to 6, we're seeing this where we have to separate. Even amongst the things, we cannot take on the things of this world to be part of it. So even when the world stands against the popular, well, this is a popular thing, where you see that even in the Republican Party right now, that they're taking on things that they never had before because it's popular. This is the popular thing. Well, if you want to win, this is what you have to do. And so if you don't want to be hated or be called a bigot or called a homophobe or called whatever, you have to take on these criteria. Go ahead, verse 6.
Okay, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Therefore will I reject thee from ministering as priest unto me, and because thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, I also will forget thy children.
Exactly. And so that's what he's saying, that these generations, it's important for us to uphold the generations, to keep this in. And what is it that we're keeping in? The law. We're keeping the law. We're abiding by the law. I want to show you something else here, because I'm not done with the first part here. I will be in a minute. So hopefully I don't offend anybody. If I do, I'm sorry. But forwards equals forward. Okay, that's German for forward. A National Socialist newspaper which Hitler used to spread his propaganda, Vorwärts became his slogan for progressive-minded Germans to give power to the Nazi government. Okay, and here it is. Here's one of the things that they had. Vorwärts, forward. This is National Socialist slogans in 1934. Here's a National Socialist slogan in 2012. There's no doubt that he picked forward for a reason. Why did he pick forward? What's the forward? Forward to what? Okay, this is it. This is his. He chose this. These are a couple of his signs here, his campaign signs. I'm not making this up. I didn't doctor any of this up. When this came out, I kind of laughed. I'm like going, does he really realize that he just captured the Nazi slogan, forward? That's what it is. I'm like going, what the heck is this? And so all these people hear this, and they're like, yeah, forward, forward. They have no idea what they're even forward to what. I listened to his speech 3 days or 5 days before he got sworn in. And he said, you know, in 5 days or 3 days or whatever it was, we will fundamentally transform this nation. And it puts chills up the back of my spine, because those words meant something to me. And everybody's just clapping and raging like, yeah, this is great. Has no idea. He could have been speaking to them in a different language. And why? Because they're deceived. They have no idea what they're doing and where they're going. And that's where we have to be as well, that we have to always guard ourselves. Not making the law... Not knowing the law is not an excuse. And it's funny, because all the countries that I would go to in the military, we'd always go through what was called the Foreign Clearance Guide. And then it would also give you other recommendations. And it'd tell you things about the country you're going to. What's illegal, what's not, what you can do, what you can't do. For example, you cannot bring any alcohol into Saudi Arabia. That is against the law. It's a capital offense to them. They really are against that. So we had to know those things. So if you showed up with it, and they, like, you've got alcohol, and you get prosecuted, it really doesn't cut it. It's the same thing with the word. Not knowing the law is not an excuse. Not knowing Yahweh and Yehoshua leads to not knowing the law, which leads us to separation. So again, it's the same thing. Just as when I was praying about that, about kicking off the old man and putting on the new man, this is not a one-time deal that you read it, you know it, okay, I'm good. Close it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, it is a continual thing. It's a maintenance. Just like your car, where you have to put gas in it, put oil in it, put air in the tires. It's the same thing. And not knowing the law, not practicing the law, not getting into the law means that it's going to separate us and that we become to the ignorant and we fall towards the ways of the world. In Matthew 22:29, can you read that, Isaiah?
No.
Okay, who wants to read it?
Isaiah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. In the trash can.
Go ahead, Melania, you can read it.
And Yahushua answering said, "Ye are deceived yourselves, knowing neither the scriptures nor yet the power of Yahweh."
That's exactly. And who's he speaking to here?
That's
exactly right. The people who were leading them forward that were leading them wrong. They were leading them wrong. And so this is exactly what he's telling me. He goes, why don't they know? Because they don't know this, and therefore they don't know Yahweh. They don't know the power of Yahweh because of that. Okay? But they did know. They'd stand up and be honest and everything else. The pursuit of knowledge, but not learning. Isn't that kind of an odd statement? The pursuit of knowledge, but not learning. So when you look at these, and I came across a bunch of quotes, and I just left them out because I'm like, oh, and they're funny, but the people who are these intelligent people that, yeah, they've got a great degree, but they know nothing. And so I see that, the pursuit of knowledge but not learning. What is there to learn? We're supposed to learn the law and obey the law. That's a requirement. The rest of the stuff's great, but that's preliminary. That's your core, if you will. 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never unto a personal knowledge of truth able to come. Okay? And so people who want to sit in their libraries and just study and go over things and educate themselves and not have this, it's all for want. It's nothingness. It's gonna, yet you enjoy that while you have it here, but you've completely missed it. You have got all the knowledge and everything else except for where it matters. Harvard, this is kind of a neat one that I came across. It was kind of interesting. People would look at Harvard and they would think of it as a very progressive or liberal school, which it is. Here's Harvard in the past. Okay, this is their logo, and the middle of it is Veritas. Okay, and that stands for truth. Okay, here's what the logo stood for back in those days: Veritas Christo whatever, truth for Christ and Church. That's what they stood for. That's how they put their emblem up, and that was their motto for Harvard. Became politically correct. What do? We just have truth. Of what? There is no Christ now there. It's gone. It's been removed, but we still keep the truth. We keep the truth. And this is deception. This is why we do this. Why do we take Christ and church out there? It's part of the tradition of that school, but it has been removed. And that's why I say the higher education, sometimes I think to myself, is it really higher education? What then is the truth about truth? What is higher education? Okay, is it important? Can be. Only one book that tells us the truth about truth. And so everything else, again, this is the core. This is the stepping stone. This is the cornerstone right here. Without it, everything else is made to fall, and you're not going to have anything else from that. Let's flip over to Proverbs 1:7, page 609. All right. 609:17. Which child would like to read this?
Isaiah,
why don't you?
The reverence of Yahweh, the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and correction, the foolish have despised.
That's it. And so where does it begin? The reverence is the beginning of knowledge. Everything else, that's why I say, it's foundational to have this. Without this, nothing else matters. And so even for a person who's trying to study and get their doctorate in like physics or something else, this is the foundation. Upon this, everything is built. I still think back about that when I was going through radio operating school. The first transmission that was ever sent, okay, was Morse code, and he sent out, "Look what God has done." Because he goes, this vision came to him. He goes, why? Because he's been studying it, but they couldn't get that breakthrough, how to send it where that signal wouldn't collapse before it would send out. And so by virtue of this, I'm like, well, this is foundational. The knowledge, the beginning of knowledge is the reverence of Yahweh. Okay, without it, there is none. This one was a nice one here. When I was a boy, 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Okay? And that's it. But the thing is during those times, every child goes through that. And so when you see that 18 through 29, this group, for a lot of them, needs extra help. Okay, not saying that they're all this way, but it's if without the parents doing this or without somebody else doing this, it's a lost thing. It goes away. A generation without Yahweh. And this is where you see when we go through the word that we're going to look through and see it as well. What happens when you have that generation without Yahweh? Same result, century after century. Can't be any different. It's expected to be the same every time. Once Yahweh goes away, what happens? Everything goes down. Let's flip over to Judges, and we're going to be in Judges here for just a little bit. Page 262, chapter 2, verse 10. It will not be up on the screen, so I'll probably have an adult read this here for me. 2:10 through 17. And I'll start reading this. Actually, I can read this whole thing here. Is everybody there? 10 through 17 of chapter 2 here of Judges. Okay? And again, we're looking at this. A generation without Yahweh. What's happened? Okay? We know that by Judges' time frame, what's taken place? They've been freed from Egypt. They've gone in. They've been given they've got the land. Everything. They've been blessed. And so we are past that point. In chapter 2, verse 10. All that generation also were gathered unto their fathers. Okay, what had just happened previous to this is Yahoshua or Joshua had just died and been buried. And now we're jumping down to 10. And all that generation also were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who had not known Yahweh or even the work which he had wrought for Israel. Can you imagine that this generation that he went through with this, that they didn't even know what had taken place about the freedom coming from Egypt? This is something that throughout history, through all of history, is told and taught. And yet here we have where just one generation is lost, it's gone. So it is the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and they served Baal, and forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt and went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them. Who was it that they were doing this with? The people round about them, those they associated with. And bowed themselves down unto them, and angered Yahweh. Yea, they forsook Yahweh, and did service unto Baal and unto Astoreth, or however that is. Then kindled the anger of Yahweh upon Israel, and delivered them into the hands of the spoilers, and plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Yahweh was found to be against them for misfortune, as spake Yahweh, and as swear Yahweh unto them. And they were distressed exceedingly. And although Yahweh raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of them that plundered them, yet even unto their judges did they not hearken. For they went unchastely astray after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They had turned aside speedily out of the way wherein with their fathers who hearkened unto the commandments of Yahweh, walked they not so. Okay? And that's it. This is just one thing. And the big thing with this is that these people just came from something so marvelous. I mean, that throughout all of history would be told, and now it's forgotten. It's all gone away. And guess what? Now they're bowing down to other Elohims. And it just didn't happen immediately. It was transitional. And that's what we see all the time. The adversary would love to just jump in and insert here and do this. But what he does is he seeps in here and he seeps in there. And all these things, incrementalism. And before you know it, you're like, what the hell just happened? Where did the country go? Where did the church go? Where's the believers? What just happened to this? And this is exactly what happens. But it's taking place over a period of time. Judges 3, flip over a page, 5 through 8. And actually, it's on the same page. Elijah, why don't you read that for me, 5 through 8 of chapter 3.
And thus the sons of Israel dwelt in the midst of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and took their daughters to be their wives, and owned daughter, and
their own daughters, moreover, gave them unto them their sons, and they served their God. Thus did the sons of Israel the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and forgot Yahweh their Elohim, and served the Baals and the Asherah. Then kindled the anger of Yahweh upon Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Shikushan-Rishathaim 8 years.
That's it. That's exactly it. And so I see it over and over and over again. What happens when we lose those? And good job pronouncing those. I'm like, oh, with some bunch of vowels and whatnot. Good job, dude. Good job. Way to sound out. But that's it. Where we see this over and over, there's example after example where they get elevated and they fall back down. And why? We see a lot of it starts off here from intermingling with people who had different beliefs. The different beliefs change theirs. They succumb to it. Right. And so every time this happens, it's just like if you took, you know, if you took, you took flour and you put half water in it. And you're like, okay, well, we watered it down, but there's still flour in there. And then you take that half, and you separate it again, and you add more water to it. By not too long, you've just got milky-colored water. There's no flour in it. And that's exactly what happens. And it's generation after generation, but one generation of those can fall off and make it all go away. The blind will not see. Okay? This is important, because when we're looking around those, even with the believers, when you try to open their eyes, and they won't open their eyes, they're blind to it. So, okay, here's the information. If you don't want that, you can stay blind. That's perfectly fine. But we can't expect it to be different. Looking away from the laws of Yahweh, and I thought this was kind of funny. This would be something you'd have in, you know, in the bottom corner of a mirror, say things that are in a mirror are larger than they appear. Looking away from the laws of Yahweh will cause blindness. Okay? Because what happens when you look away from this is now you get subjected to the incrementalism. And you're not stretching, you're not knocking off all, like Aaron had teaching a while back ago about the new man, about how it's like, you know, junk attaching to you. And you have to clean it off every time. And if you don't, what happens pretty soon, you're encumbered by it. You're completely surrounded by it. And before you know it, you're blind. I didn't even notice that. I didn't even realize that what was taking place. And so by looking away from it, not having this and exercising this routinely, in Jeremiah 4:22, surely perverse is my people. Me have they not known. Foolish sons they are. Yea, without understandings they are. Wise they are to commit wickedness. But how to do well they know not. And so when we see this, you know, it's the same one I had, the scripture that I had last time, that your sons, I'm a son of my father, therefore I do righteousness in his words. You're sons of your father, the adversary. So you do wickedness. Hey, exactly. You know, that's exactly what you get. It's the same thing here, that you cannot do good. You cannot do good. And so we have to be able to be aware of that. 6:6. For loving kindness I desired, and not sacrifice and knowledge of Yahweh more than ascending offerings. And I'm going to go through here. There's a few of these scriptures I'm going to read because there were too many to include into this sharing. Proverbs 19:2. Surely for the soul to be without knowledge is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet strayeth. Jeremiah 5:22. Aaron, why don't you read that, and then you guys can just go through it, because I got another
page. Hear this, I pray you. You people, foolish and without heart, eyes have they and see not, ears have they and hear not.
That's it. And so when we talk about that, when I refer to it as ignorance and deceived, okay, kind of the same thing. It really is kind of the same thing. Being ignorant means that you're just not aware of that. And I love that Ben Franklin said that. He said, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. There's something wrong with the person who will not learn. Okay? And I'm like, well, that's exactly right. So I was ignorant of a lot of things. I'm still ignorant of a lot of things, aren't I, Donna? But I am, and what that means is I don't know. So if I open up something, I don't know how to do it. I'm like, well, I'm ignorant of those instructions. I don't know how to do it. And so what do? You can sit there and fumble with it and hope you get it right. Look at the picture on the box. Oh, that's not quite right. What are all these extra pieces for? Or you can read the directions. And now you become not ignorant. Okay, being deceived means that there is no directions. You don't need them. Just put it together how it looks. But they're both basically the same thing, but it's our job to figure out and to be able to help somebody. And then you're going to have the other people who are the deceivers and those that want to keep people ignorant. Okay, for not knowing what socialism right now, when you go to one of the big rallies and nobody knows what it is, how? I even heard them ask, got to ask Hillary, what's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? Well, I don't know, but there is none. There is none. There's no difference between Hillary and Bernie. None. But they don't want to talk about it. And we keep people deceived. Intentionally kept deceived. Esther, why don't you read this one here? Can you read that?
Let that's in verse.
Yeah. Let them alone.
Let them alone. They are blind leaders, and if the blind let lead the blind, both into a ditch will fall.
That's it. Milan, why don't you read this one for me?
2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, to the end they may not discern the radiance of the glad message of the glory of Christ, who is the image of Yahweh.
That's it. And so this is the big thing. This is to unlock the power to know Christ, and through Christ we have relationship with Yahweh. And to do that, the minds of the unbelieving are blinded. Okay? And so it's not a shock. You're like, well, how can't you see that? Well, because you're blind. You're not going to see it. 2 Corinthians, go ahead, Elijah, why don't you read this?
Okay, because the Elohim who said, out of darkness light shall shine, is he who hath shone in our hearts in proportion to the radiance of the glorious knowledge of Elohim in the face of Christ.
That's it. And so this is where we're called there. Okay, out of the darkness, light will shine. And so as we shine that light, there's going to be ignorant and deceived that are going to be attracted to it and may want it. Others that are going to be blind to it may not ever see it. But we still shine that out. If it repels, let it repel. Those that want to stay in darkness, let them repel. Okay, I'm not going to let the darkness interfere to me. I'm going to shine the light, and you can move out. You can go on through. Last one there. I'll read this one here. Do you want to read this? Go ahead.
Now the sons of Eli were
abandoned.
Men. They knew not Yahweh.
That's it. Sons of Eli were abandoned men. They knew not Yahweh. Okay? And by virtue of that, what happens when you don't know that? When you don't know the law, when you don't know what this is, your fortune, basically, I can be a fortune teller for those people. Doesn't look good. Okay? Doesn't look good. Okay, I'm missing something here. What am I missing?
Yahweh by choice.
Yeah, exactly. On that one here, but that's fine. Okay, let's go flip over to Ephesians. There was something on that one. Let me take a peek here and see. Oh, no, there wasn't. For some reason, I inserted an extra sheet in there. Little glitch there. Ephesians 4, 198 in the New Testament. Okay, 17 through 19, chapter 4. All right, 17 through 19, page 198, verse 17. This therefore am I saying and protesting in the Lord, that no longer you walk even as the nations walk, in the vanity of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Yahweh by reason of the ignorance that existeth within them, by reason of their hearts being turned into stone, who indeed, having become past feeling, have delivered themselves up with wantonness and making a trade of all impurity with greed. Okay? And that's it. That is, you'd see this year after year all throughout history, but it's the same thing. But the big thing is, by reason of ignorance there, not to be existing with them. If we free them from their deception and their ignorance, or show them that, and they still choose it, you know, it's like a person who chooses the slavery. I'd rather have the chains. Oh, well, okay, enjoy them. I've done my job. I'm walking out from this, but I can't associate. Our discussion with these things is done at that point. Okay? And that is it. That's the end of the teaching here. I'll go ahead and close. Yahweh, we thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you daily, that we come before you in the morning, in the noon, and evening, and all throughout the day, we intercede within you, that we keep the reception live, that we are not cutting the connection, not cutting the cord to you, but keeping it live, that we may be able to hear from you, that at any point something may come up that we need to know, or that we get the dispatch comes through to us, that we're able to immediately act upon it, that we are the hands and the feet of your Son, and as we go out, that we're able to speak mighty words, and in great power that we're able to do these things, through the faith that we have, and the faith that's come through Christ, and from hearing the spoken word. We just thank you for that, from all your testimonies that we have from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, that we can see how you are, that you are a just Yahweh, a just Creator. And so we thank you for that, that as we come before you, that we can hear your words, we can hear your wisdom, and that we become well-pleasing before you, and again, shrug off the things of this world, and put on the things that you have us do, and just nail our sins upon the Christ with Christ, that as we do these things, that it's already been paid for, that we were already honored, that we were already given this freedom if we take it from Christ, from his suffering and what he did, that he paid the price and did just as you'd asked him to do, Yahweh. We thank you for that. We thank you, Christ, for that price that you did pay for us, that we walk out in your ways, and that we shine bright in all directions, and that we continually polish up the armor that we have against the spiritual wickedness, that we also stand out and deliver, that we are not to just be on defense, but we are also to be on offense as well, and that through the offense that we will pierce through and be able to deliver those that are waiting or those that need it, and that you just show us where they are. We thank you for this, for a great week for everybody, and for those who are not here, just to bless them and guide them. We thank you for this and the words that you give us as well. In your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, I call you to sharpen yourselves. Allow yourself to be sharpened. For as a believer, iron sharpens iron. And sometimes it is uncomfortable, but I call upon you to be sharpened. And be sharpened by those that are already carrying sharp iron, that they may be able to instruct. So come to those people. Do not go to those that give you the answers that you seek. For if you go to those that give you exactly what you want, you will get exactly what you want. But it is not necessarily what I have for you, for I have truth, that my word and my laws bring truth, and that truth makes you free. It gives you the deliverance, and it opens up new doors and a portal to me, that through this portal I am able to equip you and give you great blessings and great strength. For I call you not to be sitting down, but to be standing, righteous and standing waiting to get into the game, that I bless you every day, and I will uplift you and guide you, but I also call you to be ready to stand, ready to deliver, that as I speak my words to you, that you are spiritually able, that you have no blindness within you, and that your ears are wide and perked out, that you may be able to hear the messages that I say, that nothing that I send you will be able to come against you to be able to damage you or hurt you. For when I send you, I will guide you and I will carry you through, even through times where it appears painful or hurtful or dangerous. Nothing will do this, for it is like water crashing upon a wall, that I will cause these things to take place.